Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
When I was a little girl, I had a rag doll, only doll I've ever owned. Now I love you just the way I love that rag doll.
I think the company's ethos have changed in a way that's alienated a lot of people in our legislature and in Florida. And so there was really no justification to keep it. But make no mistake, they're suing to try to get special privileges. People are making money in Florida hand over fist because we have a great business climate. That's not good enough for them. They want to be treated differently than Universal and SeaWorld, and we don't think that that's appropriate.
Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday announcing he's officially running for president just a couple of hours after signing the law on election changes that officially makes it so you do not have to resign to run for president if you are the governor of the great state of Florida. So all within the law takes effect immediately as soon as he signs it, so all legal. And, you know, he talking about Disney last night during the Twitter interview, I guess it was an interview. I thought it was actually quite good. It's about an hour long, and I think it really showcased a lot of the successes that we've had here in Florida under DeSantis, and certainly showcased his personality, demeanor, as opposed to the CNN town hall that also showcased Trump's personality and demeanor. And really, side by side, I think does a pretty good, you know, if you want to know who the two people are, this shows you quite a bit. But talking about Disney and talking about, you know, why Disney shouldn't be treated different or better than, say, Universal Studios or SeaWorld.
You know, it's funny. The media used to criticize Republicans for being in the pocket of big corporations, and now they're attacking you because you're not.
Well, not only that, David, it's interesting because the media in Florida for years had hammered Disney, and they would point out like that this was not a good arrangement because, you know, Disney was not accountable to anyone. I mean, when the state control board took over this district, the firefighters came to the board and they said, hey, we weren't getting survivor benefits for some of these widows. And so the state control board actually paid out some of the benefits that they were getting stiffed on. There were a lot of people in Central Florida who were really thankful that there was some accountability being brought to bear because, I mean, you know, it's human nature. If there's no accountability over any individual or entity, of course they're going to behave differently than if you have normal accountability. But the media was always very hostile to that. But just because I happened to be involved in bringing it back to reality and making sure that they were under the same laws, well, then all of a sudden they're running to Disney's defense. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I see this whole thing a little bit differently. I don't disagree that you can't justify the special treatment for Disney. And they should be given no special treatment compared to other entities. And, you know, when they're unaccountable, that's a problem. And you shouldn't have these special districts in the first place. The problem for me is, it was very clearly retaliation for them speaking up against the parental rights bill. I mean, it was petty. I mean, it was clearly about that. Now, I also understand that it's within the context of, you know, Governor DeSantis sees wokeness as the evil, as the enemy. And to the degree that companies think they can throw their weight around and promote a culture of aberration, weirdness, and, you know, anti-Americanism, you know, however he would say it, he's going to push back against that. And if a company decides that they're going to, you know, go woke, he's going to not give them or continue to give them the special treatment, you know. But the look isn't good because it does look like, well, they disagree with me politically, therefore I'm going to punish them, even though the punishment is just to put them back in line with all the other corporations in the state. And so, you know, this question of did we lose a big investment because they decided not to because of this thing.
And oh, by the way, on this project, you know, they had announced this many years ago. They had not done anything for it, but that is actually not in Reedy Creek. So that was in a different part of Orlando. And so none of the issues that are involved in their suit would have made a difference there. Obviously, as a publicly traded corporation, you know, they have a fiduciary duty to do what's best for their shareholders. So I'm assuming if they were in better financial shape and they saw the project as lucrative, they would have gone forward with it. But I think clearly they've had some problems with their stock price and a lot of other issues.
Yeah, whether they canceled the project because of the squabble with DeSantis or whether they canceled the project and it just happened to come up at a time when we're in the squabble with DeSantis, I lean toward the latter as the explanation. But of course, the headlines connect the two for everybody else who wants to make hay out of the, you know, out of the fight, you know, like it's a Jerry Springer episode. This one, though, this is, you have to give the governor credit. This is a pretty impressive follow-up. This is one of those like, ooh, oh, no, I think he got that right, though.
Nobody probably has made Disney more money than me because they were open during COVID and they were closed in California. And that went on for many, many months where literally I had all the theme parks in Florida opened in 2020. People are going. It's safe. They're having fun. And the California parks were closed. I think they were closed for over a year out in California. So we were, I think, a much better place to be doing business, certainly since I've been governor.
Ooh, I think that hurts. You know, remember when you were open here in Florida because of decisions I made that went against the ideology that you all support and represent? How much money did you make then? How much money did you lose in California? Oh, okay. 616 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
We're showing one accident. This is W in Beverly in Pensacola, but it looks like it's been moved off to the side. Watch for emergency crews on scene. 437-1620. Text in your traffic tips. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you've got a HVAC needs, whether it's, you know, particularly heating and cooling, or maybe it's an electrical need, okay? This is, you want to be able to pick up the phone and know that you're getting a good company, getting good products, getting good service, getting, you know, the right prices, and getting 100% satisfaction guaranteed. That's Peden. Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, and Electrical. They'll take care of you right now. We're still in that season where it's hot, but it's not that hot just yet. And so I know a lot of you who have been delaying getting your AC inspected. You hear me talking about it, you're like, should I? Shouldn't I? You should. You really should. $49 to get your AC inspected right now in Pensacola, Fort Walton, or Panama City. If you live in Baldwin County, where they just expanded recently, $29. So $29 in Baldwin County, and the first 400 get a free SmartCare membership. So if you have an AC system, which don't you all, get it inspected and make sure that it's going to work right all summer long. And if you've got a generator, you know, they can check that out just to make sure that that's all set. You know, whatever the case may be, they can take care of you. So Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, and Electrical, PEADEN.com. 617 here on News Radio 92.3. So this this rollout yesterday that I think, you know, kind of the headlines have been how the tech failed. Yeah, but the tech failed because there were too many people trying to use it. He was trying to do something different, which, by the way, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about this until I heard one of the nightly news anchors sort of make the point that DeSantis announced his candidacy on the platform that Donald Trump used to basically dominate. I think there's a bit of a, you know, poke your finger in the eye about that. Like, you know, hey, Donald, you know how you're not here and you're not really active over here anymore and how this isn't your thing anymore? Look at me dancing on your grave. You know, like there's a little bit of that to it. And, you know, I think Trump's digs are always like right on the surface, like a fourth grader. DeSantis's digs are always, I think they're just a little bit more subtle. Maybe there's a little bit more cut to it. Anyway, so talking about the Disney stuff, obviously quite a bit. Talking about the book banning stuff, the allegation that Florida is banning books. And, you know, look, if you remove a book from a library in a public school, is that the same as banning the book? No. Is it still a form of censorship? Well, yeah, of course. But every parent engages in censorship, and schools are the delegated representatives of parental rights. So is it inappropriate for a school to be involved in any censorship at all? Well, no. I mean, they're involved in all kinds of censorship. Just by picking curriculum, they are. But anyway, back to the point. He was answering this question yesterday.
Yeah, so the whole book ban thing is a hoax. There's not been a single book banned in the state of Florida. You can go buy or use whatever book you want. What we have done is empowered parents with the ability to review the curriculum, to know what books are being used in school, and then to ensure that those books match state standards and are age and developmentally appropriate.
And explaining, you know, well, what kinds of things are we looking to see removed from, for example, school libraries, especially around younger age kids?
So, for example, parents have flagged books in schools that, for example, teach middle school kids how to use sex apps that provide graphic depictions of sex acts and sex toys for people as young as fifth grade. And so clearly that is not appropriate to be in a middle school classroom. And so parents object and the schools take them out.
Yeah, and some of the books have been very mild by comparison. A Tango Makes Three, I think, is one that's very mild by comparison. Some of these books are genuinely disgusting. I mean, genuinely horrific. And not like because they have other value, like some of the Toni Morrison books, but they're just awful things that have been pulled. And he proved the point, which with a story that we've all heard, but the story, it's still good to tell on a national stage.
I did a press conference that we called Exposing the Book Ban Hoax. And before I had the parents come up, before I spoke, I just played the video that had the images of the books that the parents had objected being in their kids' classroom. And the local news had to cut the feed because they said it was too graphic. Well, if it's too graphic for the 6 o'clock news, how is it okay for a sixth grader or a fifth grader? And so nothing's being banned. They're basically ensuring that we make curation choices that are consistent with state standards.
And it is a funny point. I talk to people from all over the nation, and their perception of Florida, it's amazing to me, is always so based on misinformation. Well, they're just banning ordinary books, and they're removing things that have no awful content. I'm like, have you seen the books? Well, I just know they're not that bad. You should look at the books, because he's right. You can't show that on TV. But yet it's okay to have a fifth or a sixth grader go check that book out and look at those pictures or read that material? No, it's crazy. The fact that you can't say the words of the books you're talking about whether to keep in school in the school board meeting or on the TV as they're doing a live feed should tell you something about the content of these books. So what I liked about this thing yesterday is it gave him a chance to answer the dominant narrative about him on these various topics that has basically been false. And for him to be the calm voice of, well, here's why we're doing this, and here's what's really the truth about this, I actually thought it was quite good yesterday. Aside from the technical glitches that, certainly were an egg on the face, but again, why did they happen? Well, because he was trying to do something different, and because there was 100 million followers for Elon Musk. Once they moved it off of Elon Musk's feed, and they got it onto the interviewer's feed, everything was fine. 622 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time. And it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled?
Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Get a great deal on versatile Kubota equipment today, like Kubota BX and L Series compact tractors, part of our tractor lineup rated number one in durability and owner experience, Z Series mowers, and Sidekick utility vehicles. Stop by your local Kubota dealer today. Bring home select BX Series equipment for zero down, 0% APR for up to 72 months, plus save up to $800 now through June 30th. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more details.
Visit the friendly folks at Coastal Machinery, now with 40 years in business, locations in Pensacola and Crestview.
News Radio Pensacola, a great blend of information from local government authorities, local news, businesses, and provocative discussions with great hosts.
Bartertown will live. We will rebuild.
And I wonder when we are ever gonna change.
also interesting to listen to her from the 70s and from the 80s and how her voice would change, which is, of course, normal. You know, as people age, their voice changes. But it's such a different thing. It's so kind of raw and loud mm-hmm. when she's younger and, you know, more like seasoned and rounded when she gets a little bit older. And it just, you know, it's, but it's still her, obviously, mm-hmm. you know. As somebody that texted me and said that she grew up in Tennessee. That, you know,
Nut
like,
Bush.
Yeah, and, oh, is that where that comes from?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nut Bush.
All right, which is a great song. And that, you know, this incredible performer went to see her at a Chattanooga concert and just, you know, kept the audience on their feet dancing all night. Nobody could match the talent and energy.
Oh,
I was thinking,
bet.
You know, I said earlier that kind of the background sound that Ike provided sounded a little bit like Janis Joplin
sure.
sort of records to me. And then, you know, when this person's talking about the energy on stage, reminds me of James Brown. You know, mm-hmm. the kind of that same just kind of like, oh, my God, how can one person be the source of this much energy, right? 626, Candy's got traffic for you.
W and Beverly's showing an accident, but moved off to the side. It looks like it is clear now. So 98 not showing any delays or problems. And certainly if you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And, of course, when we're talking about Tina Turner, let's not forget she is personally responsible for selling more chainmail than anybody else in history.
That's true.
David Duane is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Texas Mall, where 8 people were killed and 7 were injured earlier this month, is planning to reopen next week. Allen Premium Outlets have announced that they'll begin serving customers again at the end of May. A 17-year-old boy has died after an attempted social media stunt gone wrong. California police say the teenager was trying to climb an arch on a Los Angeles bridge when he slipped and fell to his death. LAPD says the teen was trying to live stream from his phone when all that happened. Very tragic story. And the man who allegedly slammed into a security barrier near the White House with a U-Haul truck is going to stay in jail. The 19-year-old made his first appearance in court yesterday ahead of next week's detention hearing. Prosecutors say the man is not a U.S. citizen. He reportedly told the Secret Service his goal was to get to the White House and seize power and control of the nation.
Not all plans are well thought out.
No, that one maybe not.
Right. Yeah, you have to be 35 to be president.
That's right. I mean, it's not even legal.
And legally born here.
Yeah, see, it's weird stuff. People don't realize they're disqualified. David Wayne, thanks so much for the update. We have more woke / trans updates for you as we've been talking about, you know, Target losing an enormous amount of value, Bud Light losing an enormous amount of value as they're reacting to the pushback against this, you know, gender anarchist agenda. Now there's a 2022 Calvin Klein ad that features a woman transitioning to be a man, but in underwear by Calvin Klein, with has not yet had mastectomy, but so is wearing like a jogging bra, sports bra. And, you know, this has become a thing that people are saying, are you going to keep supporting Calvin Klein? Levi's. Oh, this one hurts. I love Levi's jeans. I do. I really genuinely do. But a 2020 ad has now surfaced in which you basically have a guy with long hair wearing a denim skirt and white high heels and a woman in man's short. And it's kind of like a short long, like a weird mullet, and also a bunch of jeans in the ads.
Personal style is the most important thing.
I think that's the man talking.
I feel a lot more freedom when I include more masculine elements into my style.
I was always obsessed with the women in my life. The way that what they did was for themselves.
My style has changed a whole bunch, and I expect that it will continue to change probably forever.
So that's Levi's in 2020, and then just last week, CEO Chip Berg does an interview with Axios.
People are more aware of their gender identities. Globally, according to a recent study, about 1% of adults currently describe themselves as transgender, non-binary, non-conforming, gender fluid, or in another way. Bud Light's recent marketing stunt shows where the backlash can come from. How do you market products in a world where, you've said this before, everything can be very politicized, but where people are, again, more aware of their gender identities?
We actually have a gender-neutral line. It was a small collection. And we know that women buy some men's product and men buy some women's product. We know that that goes on. We've got the research and the data to show it. And that's great.
And that's great. So Oh, man. If I have to not buy Levi's, that's bad for me. Remember Benetton? Remember in the 80s, Benetton with the unisex clothing? And, like, that was avant-garde to have clothing that was not designed for a certain gender. They were. That was certainly not the low end. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
The Day Use Marina opens today at Community Maritime Park. More after Fox.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, starting his campaign for president, says he'll bring Florida's freedoms to the United States.
We've been able to take those values and those principles and actually turn them into reality. Every single day, we put up big wins on the board.
DeSantis on Fox after a glitchy campaign announcement on Twitter. A candlelight vigil in Uvalde, Texas, marks 1 year since the shooting at Robb Elementary School. 19 kids and two teachers died.
Arnie Reyes, a fourth grade teacher that day at Robb Elementary, shot in the arm and back. His 11 students all murdered.
I'm healing slowly but surely.
21 butterflies released for each life lost. 77 minutes later, church bells ring, the amount of time it took for police to take out the shooter.
Matthew Seedorf with Fox 4 News, Dallas-Fort Worth. More than 370 police officers responded but did not move in that day. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31, News Radio 92.3, beautiful Thursday morning, 68 degrees right now in Pensacola. Today is the day.
The marina will be open. Your boat can park there first thing, 6 a.m. tomorrow, but the ribbon-cutting event will be at 3 o'clock.
And the city of Pensacola opening that Community Maritime Park Marina with a ribbon-cutting ceremony this afternoon. Of course, it's open now. You can use it as of a half an hour ago. The marina will be open daily from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m., March through October. November to February, it'll have reduced hours, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It features floating docks, 48 boat slips, kayak launch docks, and also storage racks. Florida's Education Commissioner reassuring parents, teachers, and school administrators over the review process for social studies textbooks.
I'm happy to report that we're currently at an approval rate of 65%.
That is Education Commissioner Manny Diaz. He says Florida will have more than enough textbooks available. 65% have been approved of the more than 100 submitted by publishers. He says each book goes through three levels of review before they get to his desk. The books are, he says, not always rejected because of ideological issues, but sometimes because of state education standards. Well, snake hunters have a chance to earn thousands of dollars and help Florida's ecosystem as well. Governor DeSantis announcing that registration is now open for the Python Challenge. Over $30,000 in prizes available to anybody who wants to go to the Everglades and remove invasive Burmese pythons. The 10-day competition starting August 4th. More info available online at myfwc.com. A former Florida State football star facing life in prison if he's convicted in the death of a man 2 years ago. Testimony started this week in the trial for Travis Rudolph.
A German poet back in the French Revolution once said that murder begins when self-defense ends.
And prosecutors say that four men confronted Rudolph at his home, but were already leaving his driveway when Rudolph allegedly fired 39 shots at their car with an AR-15. Rudolph's defense attorney says the men were at Rudolph's home to kill him. Sebastian Jean-Jacques died during that incident. And Governor DeSantis, well, he's just going to go ahead and take credit for breaking Twitter yesterday. The governor announcing on Twitter Spaces last night, of course, that he's running for president in 2024. That announcement did contain some technical glitches. DeSantis did a follow-up interview with Fox News. He told them it was because he had a huge audience. He tells Fox News that it was the biggest audience that Twitter Spaces has ever polled. It is 6:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing?
W and Beverly showing an accident, but also showing that it's clear. No problems. It looks like 90 is good all the way through and not showing any issues on 98 either, eastbound, westbound, traveling and posted speeds. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. Now a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Beautiful sunny weather for today. We're going to have the sunshine continue as you end the work week. Temperatures today near the mid-80s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. Sunshine continues Friday, 84 degrees for your high. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65. We're going to keep the sunshine around for Saturday and Sunday, your Memorial Day weekend, with temperatures topping out in the low to mid-80s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is partly cloudy. 68 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. Some Taylor Swift fans buying concert tickets on the resale market are seeing those tickets disappear, marking the latest twist in the fevered rush for tickets to the pop star's Eras tour. With soaring prices and low inventory, professional ticket brokers are having trouble making good on tickets. Meanwhile, a massive influx of fan sellers, many of them trying their hand at scalping for the first time, are complicating matters by making rookie mistakes during transactions. After building a rabid following online, China-based Shein now aims to further build on its following in the U.S. with pop-ups and a new third-party marketplace. The fast fashion giant first launched a third-party marketplace in Brazil last month, and now its marketplace is live in the U.S. Last month, so far, the platform appeared to be working with a smaller U.S. seller like L.A.-based fashion footwear brand called Cape Robin, and aims to get people to buy more than just clothes from Shein. On Wall Street, futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Did you know China starts teaching financial literacy in preschool? American kids are getting left behind, but we can help at home thanks to The Sensibles, a team of animated superheroes who help kids develop smart money habits in a fun way. Each month, they get a kit in the mail with a DVD, a comic book, access to an interactive website, fun activities, and lots more. Visit bcs-kids.com today and enter promo code CENT for 20% off. Digital subscriptions also available. The Sensibles. It's the sensible thing to do.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice, now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
There's something new at Pete Bohr Imports, and you need to experience it. The Volkswagen 2023 ID.4 EV is in stock and waiting for you to enjoy the smooth, quiet, and impressively powerful ride it offers. If you haven't experienced an EV yet, make sure you stop by and see how the Volkswagen ID.4 EV will absolutely impress even the most discerning drivers. And while you're at Pete Bohr Imports, check out the 2023 Taos S, now from $26,226, and the Tiguan S from $28,576, and both are available with a low APR rate of 1.9 for 36 months. The Atlas Cross Sport SE is in stock and priced from $36,161, and it's available with financing at 3.9% for 60 months. It's all new this month at Pete Bohr Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Bohr Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Prices for CAD, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. APR rates for qualified credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
Looking for an affordable healthcare solution? Check out ProHealth. ProHealth's medical membership provides unlimited primary care visits with $0 copay, Teladoc, 24/7 virtual care access with $0 copay, minor emergency care, chronic disease management, 25% off lab work and procedures, free annual flu vaccine, free annual physical, free monthly B12 shot, and more for only $45 a month. No appointment needed. Just walk in one of their 7 locations. ProHealthFL.com. That's ProHealthFL.com.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
It was a beautiful-
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Wes Moreno is the Escambia County Administrator. He always joins us on a Thursday. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you this morning. We're looking at Memorial Day weekend this weekend. That means a big event down at Park East. That means a lot of extra stress and challenge for public works, for the lifeguards. It's a big deal out on the beach this weekend, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's a big deal. Of course, you know, it's been a big deal the past couple of weekends. We're rolling yeah. over 23,000 cars on the beach.
Yep.
But, yeah, it is a big deal. And so we're set up. You know, we start this preparation a couple months in advance. And Pensacola Beach Public Works, is just, you know, they always knock it out of the park. But we have our box truck down there, all the supplies at Park East. We have the layout all in place, and people are starting to show up. And probably today you'll start seeing the presence down there. But it's just a good weekend, a good group down there. And we have Pensacola Beach Public Works is just awesome. They don't get enough credit. You know, you can advertise Pensacola Beach all you want to. But without Pensacola Beach Public Works, that beach would not be the top beach that it is. And so those men and women really get after it. And you wouldn't believe some of the tasks that they have to perform when it comes to cleaning bathrooms and some things and dealing with the public. You know, you got a public out there that takes liberty to drink a little bit. And so you have to have your best interpersonal skills. Sometimes when you're dealing with those folks, but they just do a fantastic job, and I really appreciate them.
It is my perception at a distance, okay? I've never gone to the event either during or, you know, after to see any of the cleanup. I've seen all the pictures and the coverage and whatnot. It seems to me like go back 5 years, and it really was a mess, and people make a mess, and people who are partying make a mess. That's sort of understandable. Look at Blue Angels weekend, you know, out on Casino Beach. But it seems to me like we've sort of hit our groove in terms of how to stage, how to prepare, how to interact with the organizers, what kinds of things they tell their people, and then how quickly we get in there and clean up along the way. And then when it's done, that basically by the morning after, it's like it didn't even happen. It seems like we've figured out a system for processing this event. Is that your take as well?
Absolutely. When we brought Pensacola Beach worked into Escambia County, that was one of the first things that I talked about with the then division manager. I said we're going to be successful. We're not going to repeat what's been done in the past. And so we did. We put a system together, put a plan in place, and it's good. And you know, no matter how good the plan is, without cooperation of the crowd or the group, you know, it makes it difficult. But we have full cooperation. It's just a good event down there. And when they leave, everything, like you said, it looks like they've never been there. And I'll be honest with you, I can't always say the same for Casino.
Right.
I showed up one at Casino parking lot one Memorial Day, and it looked like a herd of elephants had been through there. And so I started picking up trash with the rest of them because we had a crowd coming. And so it's a never-ending task out there on the beach. But our guys, men and women, they do a great job.
No, I agree with that. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, you know, Jeff Bergosh has been making some, you know, announcements and rumblings about wanting to have, obviously, with the 75-foot, which we still think that's true, right? There's 75-foot of access on the Perdido Beach for the public. Is that right? We still think that's correct for those parcels? Okay.
Yep.
And now he's been talking about, out of his discretionary money, buying some lifeguard towers for beach accesses 2 and 3, and then staffing guards out on Perdido Key. And all my one question about this is, I know that the lifeguard folks go above and beyond to recruit the lifeguards we do have, and I'm concerned about how easy or hard it might be to be able to rustle up another couple dozen lifeguards to staff guarding. I mean, I'm on board with the idea, the goal, but where are you going to find these people? You can't just snap your fingers and make them appear, plus management structure and resources at a completely different location. You tell me, how easy or hard is it going to be to be able to fulfill that request from the commissioner if he makes it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. It can be difficult at times to find lifeguards. You know, most of them are late teens and early college students during the summer that come out. But we do have, you know, options made, possible options. I talked to Eric about this day before yesterday, and when we were going through their budget. And so I'm accounting for that cost in their budget. But
you're budgeting for it now. Okay. All right. That's interesting news. Go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
I am budgeting for it now. I heard Commissioner Burgosh and his directives and his initiative, what he wants to do out there. So, yeah, we started budgeting for it. We're talking about it. Gulf Islands National Seashore, I don't know if they're going to keep their lifeguards. There's some chatter that they may not. And so if they don't, then we man that as well.
Right, right.
We'll just shift those lifeguards down to Perdido, and we'll utilize them there. But, we'll work through it, and we'll make it happen one way or the other. And, we'll get there. We're going to order the stands pretty quickly once it's approved by the board. I don't know if they'll get here quickly. I don't know if they'll get here before this season, but we'll be ready next fiscal year.
And look, again, just to be clear, I'm with him in the objective. I mean, if you're going to basically treat this as a public beach, because it is, and we know we have safety issues there because we've seen the news stories and the tragedies, staff and guards there, I agree, it's absolutely a priority. I'm just, it's not like we're going half speed on recruiting lifeguards. We do everything we can to recruit guards. And, so maybe if the seashore doesn't have them, maybe we can, or doesn't use them, maybe that'll help out a bit. We're talking to Wes Marino. He's a county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, hang on for just a second. Let's go to Candy in here with Traffic on the Fives.
And this is brought to you by Fresh from Florida. Local farmers want to let you know that Florida watermelon's in season right now. Learn more. Follow freshfromflorida.com from the Florida Department of Agriculture. If you see an accident or slowdown, you can text 437-1620. 98 clear from Navarre to Gulf Breeze, though. Pensacola, 3 Mile Bridge, General Chappie James, not showing any delays. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Wes Marino, the county administrator for Escambia County. Pulse Point, this incredibly useful app for tracking fire and EMS response to emergencies in Escambia County, has been not working for a couple of weeks. Have we abandoned that entirely, and is there a replacement?
We have abandoned it, and there is a replacement. Pulse Point was part of what we were hoping to get out of it was mainly volunteers. When they're en route, hey, I'm en route to the scene, and it really wasn't working for us in that regard, so we decided to go with a different app. And Andrew, I can't remember the name of the app at the moment.
Okay.
But we are using a different app to accomplish that goal. It lets us know a little better when firefighters and emergency staff are en route to the scene or en route to the firehouse to get to the scene. So that's what we've done.
Okay, I'll look forward to finding out the new one and seeing how well that works. I know it was a great information resource for a lot of people that care to follow this stuff, and it was kind of all of a sudden it wasn't there, and that was kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
One thing that I know you're a roads guy, roads and bridges guy, and what I consider to be a major announcement last week, just after you and I talked, was that the bridge at the low point on Longleaf by the Eager Beaver and the concrete crushing there east of George Stone, that bridge is getting demolished, and today, I think, is when it goes out of service for like 2 months. Is that right?
Yeah, so we're on a tight time frame there. We're trying to accomplish this work while school is out.
Yep.
And so it will have less of an impact to the public. But, yeah, so, it's part of the widening project and the road project through there, and it is to be replaced. And so it'll be on a fast track, so to speak. If you call that a fast track, but it goes out, and then we'll demo it and then replace it. Also, there'll be some utility work going on in that area as well.
And of course, for people who live in that vicinity, like I think of the UPS drivers, I mean, that's a huge parade of trucks every day. And anybody who tries to go east-west now has to go, either to Brent, Michigan, or they have to go to I-10. And so that's a major workaround. Mm-hmm. Last thing I wanted to bring up with you for today is I talked yesterday about this with Mayor D.C. Reeves. I saw something in Destin that showed me that something I have believed should be true for decades and just didn't know if it was legally possible. They have a shared athletic space with the elementary school where when the kids are not present, the fields and a bunch of additional resources, including bathrooms, are open to the public. And I have always believed, like when we were kids, we used to go play basketball at the school, and we used to go play baseball at the school, and we would play frisbee and ride our bikes at the school when the school wasn't in session because there were no fences. Then somebody got the idea that we ought to protect all of these things and put fences up, maybe for the safety of the kids, sure, but that wound up putting the public out. In Florida, apparently, Destin does it. I wish we could make all of the schools and their facilities and their fields and their tennis courts and their play structures – be open to the public, like CA Weiss is open to the public when it's not in session. I know it's not your choice to make because you run the county, not the school board, but is this something you'd be willing to approach the school board about and say, well, look, hey, we can partner somehow or other. Let's get these facilities open to the public.
Sure. I'd be happy to do that, have that conversation and see kind of what some of their concerns are. You know, I agree. When I was a kid, ironically, Warrenton Middle School, that's where I went.
But oh.
It was close to our neighborhood, and we'd go play basketball at Warrenton Middle School all the time. Me and my dad and some friends, we'd go up there all the time. And Pine Forest High School, we'd go a little bit later, we'd go play tennis there and then those courts. And so, yeah, there's a lot of amenities there that really go unused when the school's not in session.
Yeah, and I think
I'm assuming it had to do with vandalism and those sorts of things. But, yeah, I think it's worth the conversation.
Great. I would love to see that happen. And also just because, you know, taxpayers are buying that stuff, taxpayers seems like we should be able to use it when it's not in session. After all, think of all the money that the county spends on amenities to sort of give alternatives to what is already available in the schools. I would just, anyway, it's just, that makes sense to me, and I love to hear people being supportive of that. So I appreciate that. If you'd, maybe try and see if there can't be something made in that direction. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, as always, thanks for what you do for the county. No meeting today, so a little bit of a breather during budget season. You're still busy. But thank you for the time today and telling our folks what's going on in the county, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Andrew. Hey, we'll see you next week.
All right, have a great Memorial Day. 6:51 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory to our truck to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, PreventChildAbuseFL.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for a gallon of gas, $3.57. Florida is 20 cents better right now at $3.37. In Mississippi, it's right under $3, $2.99.9. In California, has $4.81. In Navarre, $3.16 east of the Walmart. Actually, if you go just a little bit farther down to the Tom Thumb, it's $3.15. $3.16 west at the Walmart. Foot of the Garcon Point Bridge is $3.15. $3.39 in proper. That's just so bad. $3.11 at the CEFCO in Milton, but $3.35 at the P. Ridge Murphy. $3.39 going through Pace. Get it where you can, cheaper. $3.05 at the Walmart on 9 Mile, but $3.28 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. If you're coming in from the southwest side, best price appears to be a $3.06. That is at the Fast Lane on Fairfield Drive. I think the CEFCO is also relatively inexpensive on Fairfield. 6:54 on News Radio 92.3. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, some progress being made in negotiations between the White House and Republicans on a bill to raise the debt ceiling. Republican negotiators met with President Biden's team yesterday, and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says he does believe an agreement will be made ahead of the June deadline. Governor DeSantis' campaign announcement yesterday on Twitter got lots of attention. His campaign spokesperson says $1 million was raised online in an hour. More than 700,000 people joined the virtual event. DeSantis trailing Donald Trump in the polls so far. And today is fuel day, Andrew. That's apparently a Circle K day where they're going to be offering 40 cents off per gallon tonight at all Circle K stores between 4 and 7 p.m.
At what amount of wait time?
That is the question. I imagine the lines are going to be very long.
Were you here during Sally or not yet?
No, that was right before I got
here.
So
you've not experienced a hurricane gas station wait lines. Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. I'm just saying. That's
this could be comparable.
If somebody finds out that they can save, you know, $4 on a fill up for their runaround, or, you know, $80 on their 20 gallon, you know, and I just think there might be a line or two.
There could be.
Yeah, a couple people waiting. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Well, it's going to be busy later at all the Circle K's.
You know? Right. But
we are watching actually one accident. Somebody texted this in, and thank you so much for doing so. Fender bender at the westbound entrance to I-10. This is from Avalon Boulevard, the westbound entrance to I-10. Cops were not on scene when the text was sent. They may be on scene now, but traffic will get slow soon. So watch out for that area. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. One of the things I was going to mention to you, we talked yesterday quite a bit about tropical typhoon Mawar in Guam. The eye was apparently over the island. We still don't really know exactly how bad it is. Some of the video that has come out is flipped cars, powers out to the whole island, not surprisingly. I think it was 140 miles an hour was your top sustained wind speed as it passed by. So that'd put it in Category 4, not Category 5 like we had anticipated. But we really don't know how bad the damage is yet. The Nimitz is on the way. They've deployed the Nimitz as response, basically, which is a couple of days away. But, man, it's just...
Ivan was a 4.
Yeah, exactly. So you know. Yeah. Like, just to put it in perspective, just because it's not a 5 doesn't mean that all is hunky-dory. And, you know, as you might suspect, Guam is not exactly the most first world of all the places, you know. So everything's not exactly built the way it might be built here in America, even though they're America. Just keep that in mind. 657 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going? Oh, HGTV is listing the Brady Bunch house for $5.5
million. $5.5 million?
$5.5 million. It was going to be destroyed. Like, they were going to, somebody had tried to buy it, and HGTV rescued it, basically.
I remember that.
Here's the funny thing is, they have bought it, and it's a case where the exterior that you see is different.
Mm-hmm.
No, the exterior is right. Mm-hmm. The interior was all set somewhere else.
Right.
So the interior of the house is not what it is, except that they've remodeled it so it is. So they've basically built the Brady house. So that you could live in the Brady house, you know, and just don't play ball inside. But, you know, you can live with the floating invisible staircase that comes down. Remember, Mike Brady was an architect, right?
And yeah,
so
of course.
It's an interesting home. And I'm looking at the picture. I'm like, that looks like the kitchen. That looks like the girls' room.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's cool. What about the attic? I want to live in the attic.
Dumb
you know?
Question. California, probably?
It is. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. Oh, pass. Also, $5.5 million. Just, you know, side note.
Well,
all right,
both
6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Time for future news. We tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Will we get guards staffed to Perdido Key this summer?
I hope so. I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say optimistically, at least to some degree, a presence. Yes, fully up with towers and patrols and everything by next summer. By
yes,
next summer?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know,
yes.
Again, I'm very optimistic, of course, for Wes to have that in the budget. Okay, of course, you have DeSantis comes out with the official announcement yesterday, and President Trump has been yelling about him all day on email. I mean, seriously, I get so many emails.
He congratulated him. He didn't read it right.
Yeah, okay.
Ron DeSantis.
All right, so who wins the nomination?
I'm going to say DeSantis, because
what do you really believe? What do you want to...
I want to believe DeSantis.
It's going to be Trump. Anything can happen between now and then, but unless something dramatic would have to change, because all of the not Trumps will split the not Trumps.
Listen on air at 92.